amen and amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn from Revelation 1 and from 1 Peter 1. And we'll try to get on with where we were this morning with the thought. Now remember, the Lord willing, this coming Sunday, Brother Quinn will be with us to preach for us from Ireland, so remember that. And then on the 19th, Brother Reed will be with us to speak for us that weekend. So just remember these and be much in prayer to the Lord would bless. I know you've already prayed. I believe little Olivia will be all right, but, you know, let them go and let the doctors check her and everything out. I think she'll be okay because she fell down and fell out there. So we just thank the Lord for him, his grace to us all, and guiding us, right? Amen. So any other announcements? I always miss something, so, you know. Just Revelation 1, 1 Peter 1. We're trying to, maybe some of us go to the camp meeting at Ruth on Friday, which we would have to leave by 2 o'clock Friday afternoon, all right? Now, if you want to go with us, ride along or whatever, according to how, we'll take the big van if necessary or whatever. But if you want to go to the Ruth meeting, just be at Wade's at 2 o'clock this Friday. And don't be at 2:30 because we'll done be gone. Right. And so just remember that, you know. And know as much ahead of time as you can that you're planning on going, because that would save us a lot of, you know, of problems of shuffling the cars around and everything. But I'd like to go and be there. And my wife, she just felt like the past few years, you know, we used to go all the time, but we just haven't been able to go. I'd like to go. So if you want to go with us, let us know. All right. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for all things. And we know that Jesus is your name. We pray now that you would just help us to understand, because that's what we need more than anything, is spiritual revelation. Our head may be full of knowledge, but we need our heart full of love revealed from you. Lord, we just ask you to guide each and every one of us and keep us, Lord. Bless, remember little Olivia there, Lord, and touch her about her falling, hurting her arm, Lord. And Lord, we need you to come on the scene this afternoon. Forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and keep us in your love. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts. We commit it all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1 through 3. Remember, this is a study of the book of Revelations. And what is the book of Revelations? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's what why we keep reading verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by a record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. 1 Peter 1 verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, which required and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the end did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, the glory, see, not just showing his crucifixion, glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things that are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end. For the grace, grace is unmerited favor. God promised it. Thank you. Take it. for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be seated. The Lord had his blessing. Reading a word. Now, I chose to give you the quotes, you know, for everybody personally. Those that are on internet can pull them off and read them. But I chose to give you these to where that you would, say, well, we can sit down and read and think on these things. Even though we have seen them on the screen, we can take them home with us and ponder over it. Now, I pray this afternoon that you will listen attentively to what I've tried to say, and the Lord has given me maybe a way to express it. And, you know, I'm a funny person. I'm a firm believer in God and his ways of doing. And, if it took a fishing trip to understand how to present something, well, then I can enjoy the fishing trip and have a good time. And then I come back doubly loaded because I come back with God speaking to me. And I'm not the person. I'm sorry. I've never been, and I've never tried to hide it. I'm not a prayer warrior. I'm not, you know, that a lot of people call them. I'm not one that does a lot of things like people will say and do. I have spent my entire life studying the Bible and studying the Message. And now the benefits I reap from that is sometimes, even though I have got older and getting more forgetful, and I realize that, you know, that wears out with you, but still, it's amazing sometimes when you get by yourself and thinking that the Lord can just drop down and talk to you, and he don't spend a week or two talking to you, though. That's what everybody thinks, you know. They'll say, I talked with the Lord the other day, and he talked with me for 3 or 4 hours. Well, I'm not saying he didn't now. Forgive me, and don't think I am. I'm just saying when he speaks to me, it's in just a short word, and that's it. And then I come here, and 3 months I try to preach it. But, you know, so he did, it is a vast thing, but I just made different to be that, I guess, and everybody's made for the way they're supposed to be. So forgive me. Just bear with me and just pray for me. All right. But now we've been covering up to, and gotten up now to, which we will start on in a little while, on verse 8 of the 5th chapter, and try to, you know, look into something. I spoke to you about it this morning, you know, at the end of the service, but now we're going to deal with it and try to express something to you. And, the main thing that I've tried to get you to see is, I've spent entire services trying to express to you that the book must be completed before the Lamb takes the book. You know, that would be like taking half the Bible if you didn't do it that way. See, you'd just be taking half the Bible and say, well, the other part's not important. No, it is very, very important. And the Bible is in perfect order. Now, I know I got into a discussion with some brothers years ago about some things, and all of them seemed to have the idea or thought that the book of Revelations was not in what you would call it chronological order. But I differ with that. I did then and I do now. I believe it's laid out perfectly in order. It is the Word of God. It is not something that you have to shuffle the cards to get them to come back around, you know, and jump from here to there to leave it. You're going to leave a gap. You're going to leave an understanding. And I've emphasized over and over, and will again today, that the prophet says the 5th chapter is a preparation for the opening of the 7 seals. And he said if we don't get the preparation correct, look where we'd miss it. And like I emphasized this morning, John, was specially chosen to go to Patmos. I wasn't, you wasn't, Paul wasn't, Peter wasn't. Nobody else was chosen but John. Because it meant something that he would be the one that be in the prophetic realm of line, that he would, even in his writings of the book of John, you know, before going to Patmos, that when he would come back, he would have that ability even still in, you know, instilled in him. He was the only one that called it the Antichrist. Paul called it grievous wolves, etc. John went there and saw it. So he come back calling it Antichrist. It's the only time in the little Johns there. And see, after all was said and done, look what John wound up doing. He just come down to the inn, and Brother Brown said he would just come an old man and said he'd just sit around and say, little children, love one another. Why? He had seen the apex height, you know, of love. He had seen and was revealed to him the things that would happen on earth. But the main thing was not, see, it would be nice to be able to get something in advance, but you might be like the guy was that I remember an old movie, maybe some of you remember it, that way on back in there, I've seen it and I remember it, that a guy was getting a newspaper a day ahead of everybody. You probably saw that and remember it. And see, he could go out and bet on the horse races. He could buy stock. He could just do everything because he was a day ahead of everybody. And he was doing wonderful until they happened to read in the obituary that he died the day before. So, you know, that's the kind of what most people want to know. My emphasis is not a joke of that. See, most people want to know what's going to happen, right? Who's going to be president? Who's going to be this? What's going to happen here? What's going to be there? See, and that's more interesting to them because you see their emphasis is upon events that are transpired or something, you know. And you know, but I don't believe John was interested in that. I don't believe the joy that he had in his heart come from being able to know what would happen down through time. He was overjoyed in the understanding of the revelation of Jesus Christ that was made known to him while he was on Patmos. And all the journey of Christ down through the ages that would come out and be all the way through the Bible and see everything, you know. And in doing that, that was why he would be rejoicing. It's in the fifth chapter here, if we ever get down to it, you know. He said, every creature in heaven, every creature on earth, heard him. See, not he heard them, they heard him screaming glory, hallelujah. Now right back up above there are these angels and elders is shouting so much until heaven is just filled. Well, you know, what about all of this, you know, that you could have just a great hoo-la, you know, going on, a great benefit going on, and just everything going so loud and all at once over the top of every bit of that, you could just hear somebody just a holler, glory, hallelujah, I see Jesus. Because I've never tried to get you to see nothing else but see Jesus. All right? And when you see him, Brother Brown said, when you begin to see the Word, you're seeing Christ. All right? He said, if you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. So I believe we need to put everything in order. And then we can understand it. We can follow it right down the line to where everything is being. But just remember now. And see, to anybody listening, please give me the benefit of being a human. I don't know how to express a lot of things, but see, the book has to be completed. And the book, if the Lamb left the mercy seat, he's going to leave the mercy seat as quick as the book is finished. You know, there's going to be a short period of time. He's going to leave the mercy seat when the book is finished and all the names that we spoke of this morning. All right. And then, see, redemption would be over. Well, if it was 2,000 years ago, see, all right, it was over. But then we bring it down and people say, no, it was 1963 is when the Lamb left. Well, then redemption was over in 63. And most of all of us are lost. See? But we know that's not true. That's not the understanding. In the opening of the seals, there's a vast difference between opening and the Gentile dispensation by the Holy Spirit being able to, by the prophet messenger, the seals to be opened that we could understand what has been, what is, and what will be, and still it not even be happened in reality. You know, we know what's going to be the future home, right? Well, is the future home here? You got over 1,000 years before it can get here. But see, we say, it's revealed. Remember, if nothing else, the seals are revealed to the bride. But you'd know for a surety, like the fourth seal, Armageddon, the fifth seal, you know, the things we get into, and the sixth seal being the tribulation. You'd know that's not to us. But you see, it seems to have been so hard to try to express and to look at these and try to get people to realize what's taking place. But just get to point. You don't have to have all the background. Just leave it and just say, well, Lord, just help me to understand what that old guy's trying to say. Because he's been at it a long time. And I guess he's got so senile until that's all he can do is just talk about the seals and the opening of the Word and the revealing of Jesus Christ, you know. And so just forgive me if all I can do is, like John, is just say love everybody, you know, and leave it alone and let me be that away. But see, the book has got to be completed before he can take the book. And if we are part of the book, as we've tried to emphasize, see, of the prophet saying, then is redemption over? See, if you're believing for your children, for your grandchildren, your husband, your wife, you know, etc., you sure wouldn't want me to come out here and tell you it's over with. You know, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't we all be happy? That's stupid. Hey, boy, bless God. God tells me something, I just go tell you. God told me something years ago, and you've heard me say it, that I could do something right here at this church anytime I got ready. And for 20 years, I haven't got ready yet. You don't understand when God tells you something. God tell me to do it, I just go do it. Yeah. That could wind up being like the Old Testament prophets were too. Brother Brown said, what about knowing this? Am I quoting him? We said, trying to get it to the people. See, an Old Testament prophet just go out and say, that's it, bloom, for go back to the wilderness. But your prophet had to stay here with us and grind it out to try to get us to see it, knowing. And just like when he come to the seventh seal, he said, it's gone from you. That's before he even preached the seventh seal. That's on the questions and answers. He knew it was gone from the people. Now, that's his words. See, some people say, well, I don't know where he said it. Well, go read the book. I try to give you the page numbers and the things of it. Go read. I ain't got time to read a seal book just to find one quote. Now, you got enough time to be sassy and nasty about all the rest of it. But listen, church. Listen to what I'm talking about. This Bible, as we covered this morning, there's two parts to it. One part is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, that your name was put there before the foundation of the world, or it never will be put there. All right. The other part is the letters of these pages that tells of the lives that you and I are living upon earth. So it's two parts to one book. All right. See, then this has to be completed. All right. Before you can seal it up. As I was trying to illustrate with the people of Israel going into captivity, you know, and their doings, and they would seal up those things in their earthly vessel and hide them. Well, how would you like it if we run out of time of getting in there? And Brother Gary, that was only a third of what you really supposed to get was wrote down on a piece of paper. The rest of it was in your pocket because you hadn't got there, you know, to give it to him yet. So when you come back, you're only going to get that third, right? See, that's not the way it is. God is waiting for it to be sealed up. And he's waiting it to be finished before it can be sealed. Now, you say, well, if that's true then, Brother Dale, what about the 144,000? That's not sealed up until they come here and live. But we're not concerned with them. We're concerned with the Gentile dispensation. But it's made known to us what will take place. The opening of the seals was the revealing of Jesus Christ all the way through the Bible. Not to just section it in, but all the way through the Bible. That's why the prophet said it become a brand new book. Then look at him. He'd always preached that Jesus was Almighty God, right? He'd always preached one true and living God. But then when the seals broke, he preached, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Go in the Hebrew series and you got message after message of telling you about Melchizedek. But then when the seals broke, he preached a message, who is, present tense, this Melchizedek? See, it become a new book to him. And I heard a man that used to up in Gainesville years ago, and he'd been in the message about 2 months, and probably hadn't even ever finished a seal book. Might not have read any of it, but he said, boy, them seals broke. Said, brand new book. How many of you have even ever read the book? How many of you have ever even read the seal book? How many times have you read it? How many times have you read the Bible? And let's go. We'll get through by five. All you got to do is change the video over. Yeah. We change the video over and you just start. You know, people out there, they laugh and wonder, what in the world would Brother Dale pay for a point of where that you could go to a Dave Ramsey? Well, I like to help people, you know. And that's just my way of saying, hey, I'll help you go to see what you can do about the money. But you know, one of these days I might come around and say, hey, you owe me all that you saved. You know, just joking. All right. But it don't matter to me. I've just always tried to help people. That's why today I could be a multimillionaire if I hadn't give it all away. But I've enjoyed giving it away. And I don't regret giving anybody. I've always told you I'd buy a millionaire a meal just as quick as I'd buy a pauper. And you say, well, that's silly. No, it's not, because I just made that away. I just don't care. But listen. When the book is totally finished of our dispensation of time, right, in us, the Gentiles, then this book can be revealed to Israel. And if it's not completed and sealed up, there won't be anything to go to Israel. They can't read the book. Come on, folks. Their eyes are blinded, the Bible says. Until this day, it says that their heart is sealed away from God. But said one day it will turn. But see, all Israel's not going to be turned. It's not the nation of Israel that's going to be saved. There's only 144,000 going to come out of Israel to be saved. All right? But you see, they're waiting on you and I to get out of the way. But the main thing they're waiting on you and I is to finish this book. And to finish our part of the book. So as John was specially chosen, we are specially chosen to finish this situation. If that don't give you a thrill in your heart, then there's something wrong with your heart. That's just the best way to say it. But we covered it this morning. I'll give it back, because the reason I do this a lot, folks, forgive me, is those on the internet don't see all you see. So I have to sometimes put back on. So go ahead and pull up number one, Brother Anderson. And it's the same thing as this morning we were talking about. But I want the people out there to see. Number one, which is paragraph 74, the Evening Messenger. There you go. It's 1963. This is just a little bit prior to the opening of the seals. And he's talking about, we find out the church ages in Revelations 10. There's to be a trumpet. Revelation, church ages. Then over in Revelation 10, there's to be a trumpet. Sound, and there were seven voices there, you know, uttered. They were not permitted to write, but it was sealed on the backside of the book. The seven seals was on the backside of the book after the book is written. Now, when was the book written? If we are, as I gave this morning, part of the mystery, the prophet said, Christ the mystery, then the book can't be complete until we're sealed in. So as I said, everybody's dealing with opening of books. Why don't you deal first with seeing how it got sealed? It can only be sealed after it's written. That ought not take a great big light bulb turned on. That ought to be sensible. You know. All right? And in doing it now, when the last one comes in, then he can take the book. But what does he do first? He seals it up. Why? We read this morning the Holy Spirit is the seal. The Bible says you're sealed until the day of redemption. When the last one receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sealed into the body, there is to come a headstone, which is love. And that's going to seal us all in together. Then when we're sealed in, there'll be a short ministry. Your prophet said they would. After the door of the Gentile church is closed, I will anoint a church, or God will anoint a church, that he'll do in 1 year what theologians tried to do in 2000, and said he's doing it now. Why? Because he's sealing us in the body of Christ now. But one day he'll seal us in by the Holy Spirit. Did not the prophet say to break a seal is to loose a ministry? All right. See, we need these things. According to the Bible, and according to what we've read and proved this morning, the book must be completed before it's sealed. All right, now if you don't believe that one, then you go back and you come down and we will just read verse 8 of chapter 5. And when he had taken the book, the 20 elders, they fell down to worship. But he couldn't take the book until it was completed. So he's waiting on you. He's waiting on I to find our place. And then he can move on the scene. Well, what do you mean? He's been here. He's over. Okay. It's all right. When redemption is over, the Lamb can take the book, break the seals, and redeem every name that is in that book. You remember the book we were talking about this morning? That's the book of names. Only names are written on the Lamb's book of life. But the book of life is a record of your natural life. All right? And number two, go ahead, Brother Anderson. Just bringing these back to you. This is in the breach. He said this book is sealed, and you are sealed with the book until the day of redemption. The book is sealed, and you're sealed with the book. We gave you from Christ the mystery of God revealed. where Brother Branham said that she's part of the mystery. See? Remember this morning, it's on your notes there. It would go on the screen for the others. See, then you and I, as I was trying to wind down this morning, you and I must become the Word. Not just talk about it. And it's not that we are to just give birth to the Word. Remember, Mary gave birth to the Word. But your prophet said, see, Mary is not the seed. Now, he wasn't saying she wasn't of God. And he said, so is it with Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. He said they were carriers. Why? Because none of those stages of the wheat, the little, don't look like original. Then the stalk or the corn or whatever, it don't look like the original. You know what looks like the original? It's not even when you can take the corn and eat it green. You remember explaining? But when you take that corn, and you can take that corn and shuck it off and put it in the ground, and it'll grow. Now, you know you don't put it in the ground until it gets really good and dry, because it's going to rot. All right? Going to rot on you. And that's what most people have done. So they come up with all these doctrines trying to make a rapture take place. And I'm not throwing off on them. Never have. Never can you say that Brother Dale has thrown off on anybody for being in error. Because without the grace of God, we would be the same. I don't care how goody-goody you think you are. You're not beyond Satan. We were talking about that last night. You know that Gabriel couldn't even handle the devil when he was trying to come to Daniel? 21 days, the Bible says. But he said Christ came to his aid. Well, see, the devil couldn't handle Christ. You know, Michael, he just couldn't handle him. Why? Because Michael was God. Gabriel was an angel. And you remember? The devil was the anointed cherub that stood beside the Lord. Top angel. That's why Gabriel couldn't handle him. But Michael was God. The Christ that could step on the scene. I want Michael on my side. I love that song in Jamaica, you know. Michael on your side. They sing it a lot. All right. But now think about it. See, then you and I must become the message. The prophet said, and I didn't bring some of these, I'm just bringing it from the head. But he said on birth pains, he said, I believe it's the right one, where he said that the bride must give birth to Malachi 4. See? Brother Branham said, we got to vindicate Malachi 4. Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7. Now I'm quoting him. You mean, Brother Dale, you think we've got to vindicate it? God vindicate that through the prophet. Now, he was the one that said we had to. He didn't say, I done it all. He said, there's something for you to do. You know what vindicate means? To establish something into an order that cannot be questioned. Is that vindicate? See? And we actually say that we're sealed into that message enough until they can't deprogram us. Well, that's what a lot of people's doing. You say, oh, no, they're not doing that. Well, they are. They're leaving this message and going back to the world and going back to denominations and everything else. And the worst part of it is most of them are staying in the message but already deprogrammed because they're bringing so much false doctrine. All right, but that's got to be here. There must needs be heresies among you that they that are approved may be made manifest. It's beneficial that somebody cross you. It'll make you think. It'll make you study. You know, I like what Brother George Canada told a man one time, something that was in the Bible, and I think it was water baptism, I'm not certain, but anyhow, he told a man, he said, go read the book and find it. Show me different. The old man come back and he said, did you find anything in there contrary? He said, no, but I found a lot of other good things. So at least that's a good point. You know, we ought to be able to find some good things somewhere. All right? So then, when this book is completed, you and I finished, then God can take not us over there physically, no, but he can go over there and tell through two prophets that there was a bride in the Gentile dispensation. And they took the word and they held the word. And is it spoken word, original seed? He told Abraham, he said, you've held that seed, or maybe it was Sarah, I forgot which way, run around Stacy, but said, you've held that seed in long enough. It's time for birth. We've talked about the message long enough. It's time to walk in the word.
All right.
See, then after the rapture of the church, after the rapture of the church, now God won't take the... See, we got to get out of here before he can go to Israel. Right? And see, then when we get out of here, he can go there. But what's he going to take? He's going to take the Bible. Right? I mean, is them two prophets going to come up with a new version? Good news for modern man. Or are they going to take this Bible? Where are they going to get their message from? Well, they'll just get it fresh from God and bless God and go out. Did Brother Branham get it? Where did he get it? Out of the book. Come on, those two prophets will take this Bible and they'll go to Israel. And they'll say, according to this book, you turned down your right of sonship and rejected Jesus Christ. Now, you are in the tribulation because of that. And you must give your life for this message. But you'll be put there in a position of being eunuchs for the bride, servants for the bride. You get to be close to her. You can see her. But you won't be part of it. Isn't it odd in her story that a man named Joseph one time was sold by his brothers? Right? Put him into slavery because he had already made them mad at him for telling that they were going to have to bow down before him. That even his mother and father, now I don't remember where his mother was still living, but his father was, I know. But he was sent down to Egypt. You remember the story? And while he was in Egypt, and his brothers out there wandering around, he was given a Gentile bride. And from that Gentile bride, he would come forth, you know, with her. And when he begins to reveal himself to his brothers, remember, the bride went over into the temple somewhere, or the place, or what you're going to call it. She wasn't there. She was removed from being with him. All right, now I'm trying to get you to just hold a story. Okay? So the brothers come and they go through the whole thing of all of knowing and don't know him, and then they finally get to wind up to know him. And little Benjamin is there, and Brother Brown said, there's your type of the 144,000. Because see, the other brothers just represent Israel. But he said, a little Benjamin said, that's type of your 144,000. All right? But see, his brothers came. The wife was still in the
away from them.
He makes himself known to his brothers. But you know what? I'll bet you the next meal they ate, I know who was sitting beside of Joseph. He was very proud of that little wife. Don't you think the next time they ate together, it wasn't just Israel? Even though his daddy was there. He loved his daddy and he loved little Benjamin. But he loved that wife. She was a part of him. All right? And being a part of him, there she sat right with him. We know that Pharaoh was in charge because the father was always in charge, right? Not Trinitarians, but Joseph was second in command, as we call it. And there sat his wife beside of him. And Israel could see his wife. He was very proud. Okay? But it wasn't that she was off somewhere else and flirting around and flopping around and doing. She was his wife. See? Then he could make himself known to his brothers. But you know, even though he would pick Benjamin out of it as a great honor, Benjamin and Joseph, you remember, the only two that was of the sons of who? Rachel, okay. All right. But he was proud of his wife. He wanted them to see his wife. He thought more of his wife than he thought of his brothers. He thought more of his wife than he did Joseph. Benjamin. That would be the honor of his heart. He thought more of his wife than he did his father. Never left his wife and went to his father. You can bank on that. That's why I said, you better believe the first big banquet they had, she was sitting right there with him. There's a lot to the story going on through there, but I just want to get that point in your mind. And if you watch that story, you saw exactly what I ended up saying this morning. When this book that we are is completed, sealed up by the Holy Spirit, then he can take this Bible and go to Israel through two prophets and tell them the whole story of Joseph and how they missed it and why they would not be able to sit beside of him. Even his daddy could not take the place of his wife. Because even in the visions and things, it wasn't his wife. He never saw his wife bowing before him. But he even saw his mother, his father, and all of his brethren had to bow before him. But his wife never bowed. She didn't have to. See, there's the little bride. When we become the Word, well, Brother Dale, I always thought we was the Word. When we become the revealed Word, we're not the Word because we can read it off the page. It's when we can live it in reality. Then something can take place. He wanted his father and his brothers to see his wife. Lord willing, Tuesday, 54 years. That's my wife. I love you. I love my family. But a man asked me one day, he said, "You've heard me tell it?" He said, "If you had to make a decision between your family dying or your wife dying, then what would you do?" I said, "My family would be gone. My wife is part of me." He said, "I wouldn't do that." And it proved, but still, that's how close we are as one. All right? He's very proud of his little bride. He wants to show her. Brother Branham said, just for a moment, he'll show his bride to the world. Now, that's a direct quote. Not going to show it out here that the whole world is going to look up and see it. No, 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 no. Those around. All Egypt never saw what was going on. Only the ones that were chosen to be around when the wife was introduced. Don't you see the story? When we become the Word, God will have something to take to Israel. And Brother Branham, I've given it to you over and over and over, where he says, page 8, or paragraph 80, the Revelation chapter 5. I think that was, what number is that one? Should be number 4, brother, but it may not be. All right, number 4, pull it up. We've seen this one over and over and over, but let's read it one more time. Revelation chapter 5, 1961. Now he's preparing for the opening of those seven seals of redemption. See, that's what the fifth chapter is. Now take it out and say it's not important. Say it's out of order. Well, we just bypass that. We don't need to know that. Brother Moat, one time we were talking to a brother, and he said, "I preached 72 hours on the stature of a perfect man." Brother said, "I ain't got 72 hours to listen to that." Well, he didn't. So, you know. Another brother said, "What do you mean? I preached it an hour and a half." Well, I'm not joking. Those happen. But look, see the opening of those seven seals of redemption. That's what the fifth chapter is. That's the reason I kind of read it and then just take it from there and talk on it and give the other parts of the scripture, is because it isn't verse by verse something that's happening. It's not that. It's preparing for something to happen. If you get the preparation, then you're ready for it then. It's all by faith. Now, how many times have we read that quote? It's not a verse by verse, but we must read it verse by verse. He was reading it verse by verse, expressing it. What does he mean? He wasn't looking down through time. When this happens, a lamb had done walked out. It had seven horns and seven eyes. Verse 7. The lamb had done walked out. The emphasis of chapter 5 is what you see next. A preparation that's going to take place. See, everything must be prepared. And in Revelation 5, Brother Brown said it's the scene of preparing for the opening. John was chosen to see that event. I believe you and I are chosen to see it today. But we must be qualified to be able to see the opening of the book. Well, the prophet opened it. That's good. You just made him God. Because Brother Branham didn't open the seals. The Lamb. My Bible says, and my prophet says, the Lamb is the one that could break the seals and open the book. Brother Branham couldn't do it. See how easily you make him God and don't know it. You know, that's a major point. If you want to discuss some of these things after service with me, I'll be glad to. But I don't just yakety-yak on tape all the time about it. Major points of a lot of these doctrines is proving that Brother Branham is Almighty God. That's their point. You say, but Brother Dale, the seals opened in 63. That was only in Revelation form. The sixth seal didn't break in 63, did it? The tribulation never set in 63, did it? So it was revelation to the prophet. But he was the only one that it was revealed to in its fullness. I'm sorry, he said it's gone from you. And there's no way for you to know it. I didn't make that statement. He did. All right? See, John saw these things. John saw it open. John saw it. Brother Branham said even Daniel heard the thunders. But did he know what they were? John heard the thunders but was forbidden to write. Brother Branham made a statement that you got to clarify real good. Go to number five. It's taken from the first seal, 1963-318. He's talking about when it thundered. Remember, a loud clapping noise of a thunder is the voice of God. As we were talking about last night in the Bible study, and I've mentioned it to you before, that they're arguing over whether Brother Branham was out there when that ain't, where the light went up, these things happened, and all of that, you know. But just go ask those brothers. Those brothers heard a thunder. Brother Branham heard a voice. Told him to go back to Jeffersonville. They'd be told him what to do. What he said. Those brothers heard a loud blast. But they never saw the angels above the prophet. Didn't do it. In the Bible, it thundered when Jesus was there. See? A loud clap of thunder is the voice of God. He said, Brother Dale, what are the thunders? It's the voice of God speaking to you by revelation of what is sealed in the book. Simple, isn't it? That's a 1972 quote, okay, from Brother Dale. All right. They thought it was a thunder, but it was God. He understood it, for it was revealed to him. See? It was a thunder. And notice the first seal opened. The first seal, when it was opened in the symbol form, it thundered. Now we'll get to that in Revelation 6:1, where it says that it thundered and emphasize more on it. But now look what he says. Now what about when it's opened in its reality form? When it opened to the prophet, it opened with a loud blast of thunder. What about it when it finally winds up being there? If you've been listening to what I've tried to preach, and some of you have, you'll remember that back into the early 70s, that I was trying my best to get you to see that the actual reality or the situations or what is under the seals is to Israel. We get the revelation by way of the prophet's message. We're not there when the sixth seal opens. That's at least one to show. Fourth seal is Armageddon. We're not there when those things are to take place. We surely better hope we're not. All right? The seals then will be open to Israel after we leave. Can't be open to them now. Their mind's closed. Their eyes are blackened. The Bible says. You can't have him dealing with both this Gentile and Jew at the same time. It's when we leave out of here, then God's going to Israel and remove from their eyes the blindness that has been placed there. And then they can see. Right. Only after we leave. Because only after we leave do you have something that can go there. Right. That's why I asked this morning. That's the seriousness of it. I don't play games. I'm serious. Could God take what you have in Revelation and send you to Israel? Boy, wouldn't it be something for a lot of the preachers in this message to go to Israel? Why, them Jews would laugh you off the street. You remember that Jew that talked to Brother Branham? He was talking about the guy that was healed. And that Jew said, you can't cut God in three pieces and give him to a Jew. He said, they'll tell you exactly where that Trinity come from and show you exactly the books that's where it's at. He said, they know it, where it came from. Boy, wouldn't it be something to go over there to Israel? And you start up there and you tell that old Jew, you know, and that old priest standing there, and you say, you got two souls. I don't think he'd have enough time for us, you know, like that, do you? But you see, as I was saying this morning, look how dangerous it would have been. You remember on the video, come on, 20, is it 20th Century Prophet? I don't think it's a deep call to deep, but it's 20th Century Prophet. They were planning on him. They met with him in the video, and they planned for him to go to Israel. He packed up and was going to Israel. He got over to Cairo, Egypt, I think it was, and God told him, said, don't go. He changed and went down through and come out another way and didn't go to Israel. Brother Brown never did go to Israel. But you see, look how dangerous it would have been. That Jew knows that word, but he's also commanded to believe the prophets. And the Bible says when a prophet is vindicated, you hear him. Right? Look how dangerous it would have been for Brother Branham to walk up there and say, your name is so-and-so, you're this. Come up here, if God don't heal you, I'm a false prophet. What do you think them Jews would have been doing? But you see, God wouldn't let him go. Okay, you missionaries, paraphrasing it. Go ahead and go to Israel if you want to, but they ain't going to listen to you. You know that this message has been delivered in Israel. You know this message, there is a church or two. I know there's one, and I'd already heard of one before this one, the last one that the brother even came here. But there's churches in Israel of this message. And you know that they're on the internet waves in Israel? Do you know that Brother Perry Green actually had a thing set up and had a video made of it and showing and had Brother Branham's voice speaking about Israel and what was how they were and what they were to be? This message is all over the world. The Jews know about this. And all they'd be saying is, let's see the sign of the Messiah. Because the Messiah, they believe to be God. Because that's what he is. And they want to see that sign. All right. But what about it? When those two witnesses go over there, about the book that you and I have completed and made manifest, then Israel will see the light. But it's only after we're gone. God don't deal with it like that. See, and it won't be, as I keep stating this, because some people want to link you together. They just hear you say something, and they want to link you together, you know, with some doctrine. I don't like that. And I told you about the man telling me that the two witnesses would be a Gentile bride and a Gentile prophet. And I told him, no, it would not be. It would have to be two Jews that would go to Israel. See? All that is like people call it great revelations. See? It will be the word of God that will be made known to Israel. You agree? I would agree to that in the Baptist, wouldn't you? I mean, if you asked me that question, I was in the Baptist, I said, you have to be the word of God revealed through two witnesses to the Jews. I wouldn't have known much about what I was talking about, but it had that much sense. Huh? All right? So then it will be the Word of God that will be made known to Israel. The Word of God of who you are and what you have become. And that you've gone off the earth in a rapture. All right? Now, with all that in mind, let's pull over. Go ahead, brother. Revelation 5. You had it up a while ago. Revelation 5, 8. I may have to take another message on this Wednesday, but all right. Don't worry about it. I'll be preaching on something anyway. Now, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and vials, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, over in Revelation 8, 5, now if I miss that, I believe that's right. It tells you about the prayers of the saints. It tells you what that is. You know, the prayers of the saints. The vials poured out. That's why the tribulation sets in, is because you are gone, and there's no one to try to intercede with God. He said, but there'd be a lot of good people left. Right. There was a lot of good people down in Sodom. But there was only one man that could deal with God and say, God, if I find 50, will you spare it? Yes. Lord, if I find 40. You know what? He got it down to about 10 or 5, didn't he? And there wasn't 5 of them out there. See, what causes the tribulation to take place is it's the wrath of God poured out upon the earth because there's no more prayers of the saints for intercession. You said, no, we're not Catholic. No, we're not Catholic, huh? But the prayers you're making for your families are the ones that God is hearing to bring them in. But once that's gone, there's no more prayers. So that means exactly the prayers of the saints. See? And you'll find later, I believe it's 8:5, that they're poured out. And look, and they sang a new song. Then thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. And the book's still sealed. Come on. You want to read? The book is still sealed at that period of time. Why? Because it had to be sealed up before it could be sealed. Right. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred tongue and people and nation. Okay. Now, they asked Brother Branham, go ahead with that quote. Oh, yeah. Number six. They asked Brother Branham about Revelation 5. Was that the saints? His answer was no. That is not the redeemed. Okay. Revelation 5, the thing in when the Lamb takes the book out of the... No. Are these the raptured saints? No. Revelation 6, 5, and 9. That's it. He's jumping over, but it's 5th chapter, 8th verse, and then going down to 9 and all. If you notice, these are not the saints. He has never claimed his property yet. This is not the saints, if you'll notice. They're the elders and the beast, and they sing. It is not the bride. So he goes to the bottom and says, thou hast redeemed us and made us priests and kings. He reads the scripture himself. What? That's the heavenly group. Not yet the redeemed. And he read the scripture. See? Which are the prayers of the saints? and they sang a new song. Why would Brother Branham say that was not the bride? Why would he say that? Do you know why he said that? I don't mean wrong. I mean right. I don't mean smart aleckly. Do you know why he said that? He said, well, go on down to the other, but let's deal with this. How come he said that? I told you at the end of the service this morning, had he said that was the bride, he would have been exactly right. But when he said it wasn't the bride, he said, well, that don't mean nothing to me. Why did he say it? What was it that was making it a mystery? That's what I titled this part of the message today, The Mystery. What was the mysterious part that was there that would cause him to say that? He was saying it because of his own teaching. That's quiet. Them old wheels is a-turning, ain't they? Some of them are grinding to a halt and squeaking. Them old brains are rolling, and I like that. Either that or you sleep. And I don't see anybody at this time that is that, so, all right. But why would a prophet say, when he's done, went through chapter 4. And he already has said that the rapture comes in chapter 4, verse 1. John typed the rapture. How many messages back of that, okay? You see what I've been doing, digging it in, digging it in, digging it in, digging it in. Because I realize, what do they say? That you only retain 5% of what you hear. That's why in a movie, you know, I told you the other day what they do in these movies now. You notice it goes in a scene, and all once it'll kick off over here, something exciting happening, and then it'll jump back to here. Because they've proven that if you keep running that channel, and they keep that scene going, and they just carry on like that, that you just get totally nonchalant. So they proved that they go, change it off to another scene. Keep it going fast. So that way the mind clicks back. All right. I've been putting it in for a long time, waiting for a time to say what I want to say, and it's 20 minutes to 4, so we'll be through by 5. I'm not generally that long, so you're going to have to bear with me today, okay? Sorry. But you know, Brother Branham, why are you saying that that is not the bride? When you've already said the bride goes up. In Revelation 4:1. Why would you say that? Well, he was just tired and he was weary and, you know. Why? Because you see, Brother Brown's mind was juggling between earthly events and heavenly events. And he says, this is not the bride. See, because this is what he'd always taught. He'd always taught that the bride goes up, going on number. This is what your prophet has taught, and a lot of people thinks, wonder why Brother Dale would just deal on these things so much. Paragraph 24. Now, Revelation, the first three chapters, deals with the church. Then the church disappears, and we see it no more until the end time. From Revelation 1 to 3 is the church. Revelations 4 to 19 is Israel, a nation. And 19 to 22 is both of them together, the things. Okay? Brother Branham had taught this before the opening of the seals. Go to the next one, number 8. Revelation chapter 4, part 1. Oh, and notice, John being taken up immediately after the church age was a type of the raptured church. Immediately after the church age is over, this lady will see an age, then comes the rapture. The church goes up like John did into the presence of God. Oh, my wee. That just winds my soul around. Caught up in the rapture, the church, and it said, this place, the book of Revelation was written, see, at the end of the church age. All right. Now, he's taught these things. He's taught that the church goes up. So he's looking at this group of people and realizes the seals ain't broke yet. Come on, did we read that in Revelation 5? He takes the book and gets ready to opening of the seals. The opening of the seals is in chapter 6. So Brother Brown's mind is dealing with this as Israel. He said, well, how do you know? Well, that's what he says. 4:19 is Israel. From 4 to 19 is Israel. After the rapture of the church. And he's teaching it. As bringing it down the line of what's to come next. We go up. We go up 4:1. This is 5:8-9. He's thinking that's Israel. Because if it's not the saints, who else could it be? Come on. Who else could it be if it's not the bride? There's only two redemptive forms to be made in the book of Revelation. The others is given eternal life at the white throne, etc. and things. That's not redemptive forms. The only two redemptive forms in the book of Revelation is the bride of Jesus Christ and the 144,000. Because 144,000 receive eternal life while they're right here. But that don't make them bride. But you see, because of what he taught, he was saying this was Israel. Now, if that was Israel in Revelation 5, or is Israel, then where are we? Come on, wake up. Where are we? Oh, with the throne, with the book, with the yeah, because of that being Revelation 5 being us. But if that's Israel, you just blowed your whole plan of redemption for the bride and for Israel. And you cannot find the bride in heaven. You would have to jump over to the 19th chapter and come riding back. So if he'd have left it there, what would that have been? Total wrong doctrine. No, the Holy Spirit didn't do that. You know, it stopped him, right? We'll get to that in a second. But just to go on to show you how much he believed this, that we go up and then the seals are broke to Israel. Go on to number 9. Let's read a few of these. God being misunderstood, 61. This is still before the seals. And then remember, and if the Lord willing, and next Sunday, I want to do my best by the grace of God to explain the 70 weeks of Daniel. As I said this morning, it's a great scripture. And it's not so much to speak on, but to place it where it belongs, to make it fit with the rest of the Bible. Got to place that 70 weeks of Daniel. And we have started with Revelation 1, got over in the 6th chapter, and of course we get now to the 7 seal, last seals, and those seals will run from the 6th, last part of the 6th chapter, unto the 19th chapter inclusive. So it would take a long time. Now I could take, say, 7 nights and run the 7 seals, opening them up, but if you do it that way, then the people will miss the great part back here that fills in this. Okay? When the church goes up, little read in between it, that's the last part of the church, last of the church, until she comes with her Lord as bride. And remember, her Lord as bride and bridegroom. And in the 19th chapter, during this time, between what? 4:1, we'll read that again. During this time, it's dealing with Israel. And to get the 70 weeks of Daniel in now, it sets the picture for the coming open. First seal. Now, I didn't give you this one, but can you pull that one up now, Brother Anderson? Of the paragraph 71, Gabriel's instruction to Daniel. I think he's there to lay him down sometime. They got to hunt for him. Okay. Look what he says in Gabriel's instructions to Daniel. Reads 1961, 7:30. Revelation 6:1 to 19:21 is connected with the 70 weeks. 70 of weeks. Therefore, we must stop and explain before we go further. We must stop and explain why these 70 of weeks, because if you don't, you'll miss those seals. Everybody knows all about the seals, right there. Don't know about the 70 weeks of Daniel. You miss the trumpets. You don't ever hear them preached on. You miss those vials. You don't hear that preached on. Those plagues. Don't hear that. Those three unclean spirits like frogs. You don't hear that one. Those three woes. The casting out of the red dragon. The woman in the sun. You miss it all if you don't, because it takes place right here in this 70th week. That's where it takes place. So you can't understand the seals and the things without understanding Daniel's 70 weeks. How many times have I said that to you? All right. We'll just continue on now with number 9. I'm at the number 9. Did I read number 9? No, we didn't read number. Excuse me, I read 9. Go to 10. Excuse me. Okay. Pull up to 10. All right. Y'all ahead of me. That's good. Taking sides with Jesus. Still before the seals. Which we realize in Revelation. It's just 1, 2, 3 chapters to the church. The church goes up in the 4th chapter. It does not return anymore till the 19th chapter. That's after the tribulation period when God calls out the Jews. Now, here's where we got to divide something. So listen. Hiya, hiya. Listen. Seals will be dealing on earth in time. The bride is up in heaven. So the bride is not seen on earth. after chapter 4. Until the 19th chapter when she rides back with him. But it doesn't say she can't be seen. Because in chapter 4, she's in heaven. So you're dealing with two things. See? Church goes up and does not return to earth. Now, go on to 11. This is on the breach. 1963:317. Now there we're going to turn to the fifth chapter. Now this is not the seven seals. It is the breach between the church ages and the seven seals. Now there is also a sixth chapter. And there was a fourth chapter, rather, of Revelation. And in that it kind of reveals something that would take place after the church going up. That the church goes up in the third chapter of Revelation. See the last verses, all right? And does not return until the 19th chapter of Revelation. Therefore, the church misses the tribulation. The glorious thing. Go to the next. This goes into the first seal. 63:318. Now the Holy Spirit and the Revelation, and the Revelation and Christ is. The Holy Spirit is Christ in another form. That's right. Notice it is a lamb that opened the book. And the Lamb is Christ. Now read it. And Christ is not seen anymore from then. Now what does he mean? Chapter 1, the Lamb is Christ opening the book. But remember, when you leave out of here, you're the Christ. The bride's not seen anymore. She's gone out of here. She's not seen on earth no more. Till 19. See, you're the Christ. You say, oh, that's too much. Okay. You don't remember what we was reading this morning then. That the bride of Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right. But he is seen in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter, coming on a white horse. You want to turn there and read it. Go ahead to the next one. Paragraph 287, first seal. And notice Christ is not seen anymore, see, from the time there, but he is on a white horse. So if this guy is riding a white horse, he's on an impersonator. So he's going on in, but he's not seen anymore from there. Okay, go on to the next. This is taken from the fifth seal. But the reason that he reveals that, as I understand, it is because the mystery of the book of redemption, as far as the Antichrist being revealed, and at the same time, the church is gone. And these things don't even happen in the church age at all. That's right. They're away from the church age. The church absolutely is raptured at this time. See, she's not down here. For one, we go up, not down here. Israel's down here getting the seals. The persecution, the trials, we're gone. Church goes up in the fourth chapter of Revelation, does not return until it comes back with him and with his king. See, lion, remember this morning? Comes back with the king, not a lamb. We don't ride back in 19 with a lamb. We ride back with a king. We're husband and wife. All right, because the wise bride has made herself ready. But these seals here are revealing what has been, what is, what will be, you know. It's revealing the seals. Go to the next. Only like about two more and I'll be through. This is taken from the Feast of the Trumpets. The first was preached in 64:719 after the seals was preached. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation revealed all the happenings unto the church. Then from the third chapter into the 19th chapter of Revelation, there is no more scene of the church. He's talking about bride, right? Not church. Bride. The church goes up at the fourth chapter of Revelation and returns back at the 19th chapter of Revelation. The bride and groom together coming to the earth. All right. Now, go ahead and put up number 16, because that is the one where he says it's the finish of what I started a while ago, coming down, and where they asked him the question, and he comes back and he says, there's something wrong, something wrong. That's just all there is to it. There's something wrong, happened. See, the Holy Spirit started correcting him, but he didn't know what it was. All right? See, there's something that went wrong somewhere. Everybody feeling all right? There's no sickness or nothing. A man in the congregation requests that Brother Branham read Revelations 5:9 again. Let's see. Revelation, where was it, brother? Question. The question was answered now. Let's see. All right. So he gets to Revelations 5, and he reads it. And he sees that they sang a new song. It was worthy to take the book. And thou hast redeemed us to God. Remember what he said, the first part of it? This is not the redeemed. This is not the saints. The Holy Spirit says it is the saints in heaven. This is not an earthly thing. It's in heaven. That's right. And what do you think about that? Oh, the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. See, he wouldn't let him answer that. You read on down. He wouldn't let him answer. He goes on down and he says that these are the redeemed. You got the quote. They got it on the internet. They can read it. Now let me preach a second. You can read it because I got to get through. See, if Brother Branham would have left that, he was referring to Revelation 5 as being Israel. Who else would he have been referring to it as being? But when he was corrected, he said, no, that is the bride. There we are in glory. The bride of Christ. In glory with him. But just remember, if he'd have said that was Israel and left it, you would have had an incomplete book. Come on. You may not see the danger of what it was. The danger there was just as much danger when he said the white horse rider was the Holy Spirit. He would have been glorifying Satan by saying that. Now he would be making Israel the bride, sitting in glory in chapter 5, and you and I would have no place. Now the Holy Spirit and he said, I was wrong. See, I was wrong about it. He said, that is the bride. And she's in glory. Now you got a book to go to Israel. Because Israel ain't seen until you get over to the 6th chapter. Come on, Israel's not in the 5th chapter. The bride. I'll get on it Wednesday and just back up enough and preach it because it show you what they're doing. Because they say, we're kings, we're priests unto Almighty God. You see how far he would have missed it? He would have been making that Israel, and he made her the bride. And so you can't do that. She'll never come back to be bride. She comes back to be servants. So now you have the plan of redemption. It goes all the way through. And you have what I've tried to prove to you for many, many years. The seals are to Israel. So when the seals start breaking in Revelation 6:1, it's not breaking in heaven. It's breaking on earth through two prophets. But Brother Dale, you can go all the way through and show that Brother Random is talking about that we're in the seals. We're in the revelation of the seals. We're not in the reality of the seals. They ask him one sensible question. And I say that in stating it factly. He said, don't give me questions on anything but on these seals. He had preached 6, right? And he said, give me questions on the seals. One question. The question was, does Brother Branham, does Thessalonian dire the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God, that fulfill the first seal? He said, yes. The rest of it is, should they wear pantyhose? Should they wear this? How should they be baptized? Why does it say Father, Son, Holy Ghost? No wonder he said it's gone from you. He read the questions. Right? Remember Wade emphasizing that? He read the questions. And there was no questions related to the seals except one. He said, they're not getting it. And the Lord says, yep, they ain't supposed to. I said, one day it'll be revealed. You see, you may not understand the seriousness. I keep stating it. If that is Israel in Revelation 5, you know, 144,000, whatever, then where are we? And where's your book? Because Israel's book ain't wrote yet. Come on. They got to live it. We get the revelation. They get the realities. They get the tribulation. They get the man of sin. They get all of that. But we see where the man of sin started and come all the way down until we see him with Israel. And then we see him destroyed. We see by revelation. They by reality. Let's stand together. Go ahead and get ready for the communion. Sorry to be a little late. I hope it's not much problem. It's just about 3 minutes after four. We'll be done before five. Sorry about that. You get hungry, then chew on your fingernails while the Wade does the thing, and then eat later. I'm sorry. I was wanting to get done real early. But you've seen where I got to. It opened up. Just opened up. Now I can go through the whole book of Revelation. So we could just start all evening and stay here if you want to. But let's read the scripture. Paul said in the 11th chapter, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together into condemnation, the rest will I set in order when I come." Well, let's just take a moment of silent prayer. Excuse me. Okay. Terrence has got an inspection. Has anybody heard anything from... I figured they would have called in. Brother Anderson, or if they called in or anything, nothing has been, let you know as quick as we can find out something. But as we're praying, remember this of Terrence, because we're to pray one for the other. You remember this, he's asking about a house that inspection that, you know, where he can keep on renting and things. And then remember little Olivia. And just pray one for the other. The Lord would bless, right? Let's just pray silently before the Lord. Just bless each one, Lord, in your loving grace. We thank you and we love you. And we commit everything into your hands. Make us worthy to be able to partake of this communion this day. Because we're not worthy in ourselves, but you can make us worthy. But just have your way. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thy grace in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Father, we thank you for this bread. It was made today for this one purpose. And that is here for us to partake this afternoon. We ask you to just help us to remember what this means. This is not your body. It is not, Lord, flesh. It is only a symbol. But in this symbol, there's wonderful pleasures placed forth in your word. We ask you to sanctify the partakers, sanctify the bread, in Jesus' name. I hope you'll go home and consider today and see that the book of Revelation is in perfect order. But if it had have been that that was Israel that your prophet thought it was, it would have thrown out the continuity of the entire Bible. But yet it's in perfect order. Now there is something to happen to Israel. They have a book that can go to them and be revealed and made known to them. Then they can have their glorious time, because they're taken up with 144,000 is taken up evidently with the two witnesses, because they have a rapture too, you know. And then it'll go on into other things as we'll go through and cover. Don't know what details of what we'll go into. I will just leave it a lot up on the basis of you saying, Brother Dale, would you explain this? If you'll put your questions in, we will attempt to tie together what we're talking about in a relationship to what questions you would be having, because I want you to have the answer to the questions. Not that for me, but we can find them. You know what I've always said. It ain't that we got all the answers, but we know somebody that does. So we just depend on him and let him answer all questions. He's always been good before to do it, never failed me yet. So I'm not concerned. I'm just happy to be a Christian and to believe in his word. See, one day it'll be a reality that we'll be in heaven. We will be rejoicing. But why not rejoice now? Because we already know the end. We see all things through Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we ask you to bless this wine as went through the process, and now, Lord, it is there to represent your blood that was shed for each and every one of us. We ask you to sanctify the wine and the partakers in Jesus' name. Amen. I know